the cinema year is drawing to a close with an onslaught of film critics groups handing down their best of lists and summing up the year that was on film. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The nation's largest group of critics, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, has just announced its nominations for the 19th Annual Critics' Choice Movie Awards, and I'm delighted to have back on the program fellow Broadcast Film Critics Association member Cynthia Farah Haynes. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Chuck. Thank you for having me on your show.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're joining us from your home in Lawrence, Kansas, and you were, as I said, the former host of this program. Some listeners will remember. We are both members of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and our nomination list for the association just came out. I wanted to run down the best picture list and get your critique of that. Since we are critics, we can critique our own list. American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, Saving Mr. Banks, 12 Years a Slave, The Wolf of Wall Street, and with few exceptions, all of those films are still in theaters, I think,
or about to be. I think the Wolf of Wall Street
comes out on Christmas.
Has it? I think that the reason for that was that Martin Scorsese needs more time to edit his four-hour length film.
I think they were having trouble with perhaps an NC-17 rating, too, which sort of the death knell for films, big-budget films, at least. So they're working on that. But, you know, it strikes me that our Best Picture list, which has always included 10 films, unlike other lists, which sometimes only have 5 or 6, tracks pretty well with many of the other critics groups that have been coming out, the New York, Los Angeles, other major markets.
Well, that's a good and a bad thing, I think. Chuck, I was looking at some articles that I had saved from earlier in the year, and almost that identical list was included in stories about the coming award season. And if you look at the Golden Globes, if you look at other critics groups, I mean, it's the same movies being nominated. And what I've come to realize is the ones that get nominated are the films that have been promoted by their distributors and their studios. And if the film critics don't get screeners of all of these films, and we're required to see them before a lot of them open in theaters around the country, then those films aren't considered. And that's really a shame. There are also some films earlier in the year. Mud, I thought, was a fantastic movie, but it opened, I hate to say this, it opened too soon in the year. Another film that was very violent, but a profound character study, was The Iceman, starring Michael Shannon.
Yes, I know we both liked that film, which it's on Netflix now.
Right, and so that was left off. The Great Gatsby suffered as a result, and also, I believe, The Butler. All films that opened a little too earlier in the season, but when, you know, we're inundated with, I don't know, half a dozen screeners a day for about, what, 3-4 weeks, it can get to be a little overwhelming, and you tend to look at other critics' groups and say, well, they nominated that. I wonder what's good about it. And you watch it and go, Academy members do the same thing.
Well, that's one of the purposes, I think, of these early groups, and ours included, is that we got somewhere around 100 films sent to us this year, and we are helping to define what the pack is that is moving forward. And when you get to the Academy Awards and the Academy members, they're not watching 100 films. They're probably watching 15 or 20. I like to tell people it's almost like a political primary where you start with a bunch of candidates, and the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, the Golden Globe, some of the other big critics groups are sort of the early primaries that begin to select the field that's going to move forward and that the studios are going to put millions of dollars behind to try to get that big award, the Oscar.
And it does increase the number of people who go to see that film when, in fact, it's won awards. So I hope we are providing a service to the people who love movies by kind of winnowing down that list.
But at the same time, I think you always make the point that maybe, you know, our list should be a little more diverse because we can champion films that don't necessarily have the backing and the push from the major studios.
You're absolutely right, Chuck, and that's one of the fortunate things about belonging to a group like that. I mean, that's our job, is to watch movies, and we're certainly not complaining. But unlike Academy members who, you know, vote in their particular division, we see virtually everything all year long. So, you know, we're given a chance to see movies that others might not have had a chance to see, and we can promote them and share our enthusiasm for some of these smaller films. And for me, a lot of those were documentaries and foreign films.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some favorites from the year that should be on this list?
Well, 20 Feet from Stardom, which I saw originally at the True False Film Festival. I want to plug that as one of the best documentary film festivals anywhere. It's in Columbia, Missouri at the end of February. I think this year it's February 27th through March the 2nd. And virtually all the nominated documentaries had shown at True False.
And that is listed in our nomination for Best Documentary Feature among five other films.
Right. Dirty Wars, Muscle Shoals, another music documentary, incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
And two documentaries for cyclists, Rising from the Ashes and also The Armstrong Lie.
Right, about Lance Armstrong's cover-up of his doping.
Right. Inequality for All, Robert Reich's assessment of our economy, which is pretty eye-opening and very entertaining, I thought. What's happening lately, too, and this has been the case for a long time, some of the documentaries are the more interesting films that we see over the course of the year, but television has gotten quite involved in funding and distributing documentary films, mm-hmm. and that includes HBO. CNN has a documentary division. I mean, I think Oprah has a documentary division looking for documentaries for her channel. Netflix is getting into the distribution business, so in a big way.
Which makes a lot of sense because it is so hard for just the everyday viewer to see a documentary in a theater. It's so rare that they get released except at film festivals, so it makes sense that television and streaming services are providing that service.
Right. But I also saw some films this last year that needed to be seen on a bigger screen. And that included Gravity, Captain Phillips, All Is Lost, 12 Years a Slave.
Mm-hmm.
These were all films that needed to be experienced in a large movie theater. And it's a shame that we're getting away from that and people are just settling with watching on their iPads or on their computers because they lose that very special movie-going experience.
One of the things that I found interesting about this year's list of best films on our list and others is that we don't have major historical figures in the acting category. You know, in the past we've had Lincoln and queens and kings and inventors and others, you know, actors playing historic figures, which tend to put them in the front running. This year, certainly Captain Phillips is based on historical events, and that was a real captain that was captured by Somali pirates, and Solomon Northrup from 12 Years a Slave. That's a biopic in a way, but they're not playing Lincoln.
The only one I can think of is Idris Elba in Mandela.
Mandela, which did not make our list. It has made some others. But this year we have Christian Bale in American Hustle, Bruce Dern in Nebraska, Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, incredible. Tom Hanks and Captain Phillips, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club, and Robert Redford, my dark horse for All Is Lost.
The Old Man and the Sea is what one of our film critics here titled it. Robert Redford is 76 years old, and Bruce Dern is 77. I mean, think about that. I don't know when that has last happened. Judi Dench, I believe, is in her 70s.
And Philomena.
She was nominated. So this is a good year for seasoned actors and actresses.
Isn't that true? When you look over all of these films and nominations, all of the actors, I think without exception, are above their mid-40s. And I think a lot of commentators were making the point about Gravity and its box office success being primarily among viewers over 50. And I wonder if this year signals kind of the return of movies for grown-ups and with grown-ups in them.
I don't know, Chuck, necessarily, because there's some incredible talent. Sarah Polley has a great future ahead of herself as a filmmaker. Brie Larson in a wonderful film called Short Term 12. Another young actress, Greta Gerwig, and Frances Ha. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more young women making movies these days.
There were a number of small really nice independent films that were written and directed by women, which was a nice surprise this year. Yeah. I enjoyed Touchy Feely and In a World, I think we both love, Lake Bell, who wrote, directed. It's her first feature film and starred in that film. It's a great comedy.
So I do think there's a whole generation that's starting to move forward and producing some very interesting work.
But certainly in the last 10, 20 years, the market has skewed more towards younger films. And combined with the solidness of the list we have here with more mature actors and themes and stories, with I think what was generally perceived as a fairly soft blockbuster season this summer, audience slippage for a lot of the big budget films, which are geared more towards young people. Maybe there's a fragmenting of the market. That's a good thing in that it's going to bring about greater diversity in stories and performances.
And I think the media that is now distributing the movies and that we love, are filmmakers are experimenting with that, making short films available on YouTube, making short films available on the internet. It's an interesting time, and who knows where that's going to go, because we certainly couldn't have predicted this about 5 years ago, that the way of distributing films and the way we watch them is going to change so dramatically. And I think that is, the line is drawn, you know, by the generation.
So putting aside for a moment that it's a ridiculous task to say what the best picture of the year was or best performance, they're all remarkable, but did you have a favorite film or films of the year?
Oh, I guess the documentary that I saw that moved me and had stories about people whose lives were changed, but filmmakers who were able to tell the stories of those individuals. One of them is called The Crash Reel, a documentary about a young snowboarder who wound up in a horrific crash during one of his runs. And he wound up with traumatic brain injury. And it's just what happened to him, his obsession with sports, his family. It's a movie I would really recommend people looking for. It's very small, but it had such an effect on me. And the other one really had to be 12 Years a Slave. I was so emotionally affected by that movie, made by a Brit, starring a Brit with a perspective on United States history that American filmmakers have not, up to this point, demonstrated.
I think mine personal favorite would be All Is Lost, as you know, the existential, extremely minimal but brilliant film with Robert Redford and really no dialogue in the whole film.
It's a terrific story that he was approached by a young filmmaker who was involved with Sundance to be in the film. He said, all the years he did Sundance, no one ever asked him to be in the movie.
He may win an Oscar for it.
With what, 12 words of dialogue? He might win an Oscar.
It all ends with a great awards show out in Hollywood in January. I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Certainly. Thanks for inviting me, Chuck.
I've been discussing the recently announced Critics' Choice Movie Awards nominations with Cynthia Farrah Haynes, fellow member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association and former host of this program. Haynes is a weekly film commentator on Lawrence, Kansas's public radio station, KCUR, and you can hear her reviews and thoughts at kcur.org. The 19th Annual Critics' Choice Movie Awards will air live on the evening of January 16th on the CW Network. For a complete list of nominations and for more information on past awards recipients, log on to criticschoice.com. On Film's Best Producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.